Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I love John 17 because it's the Last Supper and Jesus is praying for us. There's not a lot in the Bible that's actually related to us, but this one is. So Jesus, as he's praying, says to his Father that you have given them, us, to me. So we are entrusted to Jesus. We are his. So here's what I recommend. Take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy that. You belong to Jesus. In my life, I've experienced great peace when someone with power says to me, I've got this. And I have been able to give peace, usually to children, when I've said to them in the midst of their worry and fretting, don't worry, I got this. And I'm serious, I got it. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. I got you. I got this. Enjoy and trust. So a good meditation, I don't know, maybe you should do it 100 times a day, but at least try it once a day. Imagine sitting in a chair and Jesus sitting in a chair and he's looking at you and you're looking at him, eyeball to eyeball, the whole face. And he says, you are mine. And then pretend like you believe it. Because that's the key. I know everybody's going to say, well, I know that. Yeah, really? This is ground zero of our identity. All these questions we ask, who am I? What am I? Why am I here? It's all answered in this. We are his. I am his. Now, unfortunately, it's hard, easy to say it, hard to live it, hard to believe it. And I think there's lots of reasons for that, not the least of which is the big hole in each of us that we'd rather not pay attention to. Those wounds and brokenness, they're included in that, but primarily what I'm referring to is the God-sized hole in human beings. As we live our busy little lives doing all sorts of other things than being open to God. I also think the troubles of life lead a lot of us not to believe. I did a funeral this week, and it was a guy who died ugly. You know, those long, drawn-out, painful struggles. That you know, some of us, we go like that, and other people, it's just... As a priest, I have a long list of ways I don't want to die because I've watched so many people have those kinds of deaths. Well, one of the problems in those long, drawn-out deaths, and both of my parents, that's the way they opted out, is praying, I wish this was over. I wish it would stop. And I think for a lot of us, the troubles of life, the things we pray would stop, cause us to really wonder if we're his. And rather than think about it, we just kind of, let's not even think about it, because the pain inside of us is so great, we're afraid to face that. So I'm going to explain to you our situation. In the prayer, Jesus says this: I'm no longer in the world. I'm no longer in the world. They're in the world. Everybody understand? He's not in the world. We're in the world. I know a lot of you have this thing, well, everything that happens, happens for a reason. Jesus, no, no. That's, Jesus is not the reason. He's not in the world. And I know he's still with us, but this is the part he's emphasizing. He's not running the world right now. We're in the world. So he prays his Father, protect them with your name. And the name is one of the ways that God is present in the world. And I can't get into the deep depths of the theology of it. But basically, God's eternal. So when God's with us, it's always like eyedropper of God. And one of the ways they express it is the name of God. And so Jesus says, protect them with your name. But here's what he doesn't say. Trouble's off the table. Problems off the table. What he says is, protect them so they can be one. Did you hear that? It's not so that your life goes smoother. It's so that we can love each other. That's what he wants to protect us from. The propensity we have when we hurt to only focus on ourselves. And the reality is, most of you don't even know each other here. Half of you have never talked to anyone here. And this is your home church where love is supposed to be flowing. Most of you, if you have a problem, would never come to this church on a day when you've had problems. Because you might cry in front of them. My entire family was killed. The last place I want to go is the church. I need to stay home where no one can see me cry. Because we don't really love each other. What we say is, what's wrong with them? Because we don't care. We want data. I'm starting to rage at you now. But the reality is, churches are supposed to be a place where we're loving each other. That's what Jesus prayed for. And I don't know that we're doing such a great job. Troubles are not off the table. The struggle to love one another, the struggle to become ourselves, that's what's on the table. I will repeat for you. On Ascension Day, I love this. They looked up. I preached 2 weeks ago about Stephen looked up and saw everybody. This week, looking up is bad. That was good then. They're looking up, and the angel says, what are you looking at? And right before that, they said, are you going to bring the kingdom now? 25% of the churches in Memphis, what are they focusing on all the time? End times. Writing books about the end times. Father, is this the end times? Is this the end of the world? We want to know when. Here's what Jesus said when they asked him that question. That's none of your business. It is none of your business. Your business is church. When I'm back, you'll know. I promise you, I'm going to tell you when dinner's ready. So stop asking, when's dinner? I told you to clean your room. This is our room, the world. So what are we supposed to be doing? Well, we're supposed to be telling people. Preach means proclaim. I hate the word preach. Because preach is what we do. The guys in the fancy rows. So what are you going to preach on this weekend? And when I say you're supposed to preach, you say, well, I don't have that job. The word is keruso, and it literally means proclaim. It's what they did after they tooted the horn, and then they would give the message. The king has been victorious. He returns from the war. That's what you proclaim, that God is running the world, that God has redeemed the world, that no matter how worried some things get, whatever's on the news, I don't care what's on the news. Read the Bible more and watch the news less. Because all the stuff they say is going to happen, 90% of it never happens. And 90% of what does happen isn't near as bad as what they say it's going to be. But God coming in to save the world is always something you can talk about. We are supposed to teach, heal, and exercise. That's the ministry of the church. So, teaching does not mean standing formally in a classroom and doing what I do. You teach people every day by your behaviors and your words what reality is. And if you're constantly talking about how bad things are, what you're teaching them is things are bad. We're supposed to teach them what Jesus told us. In the other Ascension, in Matthew's verses, teach them everything I told you. Who have you taught this week about Jesus? Every week you should come here and be praying to God for more success with who you're trying to teach. You're supposed to heal people. And I know you're saying, well, I don't have any magic powers. Do you know what happens psychologically to someone who's distressed and distressed if you hold their hand, look at them, say, I'm here to listen to you? It doesn't take any talent at all. He gave you two ears and one mouth. Shut up and listen. And stop whining and complaining about everything. Dear God, we act like God is helpless in the world. It's never been worse. Study the Middle Ages. And tell me, living in America, it's never been worse than this. Somewhere there's a guy dressed up as a woman and he's teaching kids stuff. The whole world is ruined. And meanwhile, how many times are you in the library teaching kids anything about Jesus or anywhere about Jesus? Shut up the complaining and start doing the mission of the church. Am I getting across here? Heal people. Teach people. Exorcise demons. Do you know if someone is all covered up and nasty looking and they're spewing other languages and they're possessed by the devil, you can call me up and it's my job to tell them to leave? And he will? Did you know that? We can do that. We can also tell Satan, get out of this nonsense that's ruining my marriage and my child, you know, my kids. And we can tell Satan all the time, you need to leave. You need to leave. And he will submit to you. And so is this going to be easy? No, it is not easy at all. And what does St. Peter say? Don't be surprised if it's a fiery ordeal. The word, I looked at the word fire. It's connected to purification. Don't be surprised. People say, don't be surprised that life is a struggle. Did any of you have a coach when you were growing up? Did you even go to school where they taught you stuff? Did your coaches and teachers ever say to you, oh, it's hard? Oh, then you don't have to worry about that. We'll put the ball on a stick for you, and I'll carry you to first base. Right? Oh, learning Spanish words is hard? Well, on the vocabulary test you just wrote, it was too hard. Why do you think God has put you on an earth where everything's going to go smoothly and anything related to him? Peter says, it's hard. Don't be surprised. And then he says, like, if you're suffering, you should rejoice in it. And if he was the only one saying it this week, I'd be fine. But James said the same thing one day. Paul said the same thing. Apparently, that's a recurring theme of the New Testament. If you're struggling and suffering, rejoice. Rejoice that you're sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Discipline yourself. Say no to yourself. We live in a world where we're not wondering if we're going to eat this week. We're wondering if we're going to stop eating. Has anybody this week said, I need to lose some weight? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've said it enough for the entire group. I need to just stop eating there's stuff because I'm getting fatter and fatter. It's like that's what. Discipline yourself. Get up early to pray if you don't have time to pray. Read the Bible. It's hard. Okay, get a Bible commentary. I don't know. Maybe too bad that this church every day we didn't have someone who was teaching us the Bible. Like every day this week, there's going to be someone teaching the Bible. Discipline yourself. We need to be like Jesus. We need to help the poor and needy. We need to do the ministry of the church. And what St. Paul says is, St. Peter says, the whole world's suffering. All Christians are suffering. See, I hired this guy from Rwanda. That has blown up everything. Because he's telling stories about millions of people dying. And what do we want to say? They didn't have Diet Coke at Wendy's. How can I survive? The traffic was backed up. It took me 30 minutes to go 30 miles. And he lived in the world where they walked. And it took him days. And we're complaining that we can't go like that in 15 minutes. We have got to wake up. We've got to wake up. We need the man up. We need the woman up. No. No. Because that's about anger, and that's about power, and that's about the world. We need the Christian up. It's not about being, you know, one of these people, nothing bothers me. It's okay if it bothers you. Even if it bothers you, don't quit. Here's the facts of life. Life is hard. Is your life hard? That means you're alive. Life is hard. And here's the most important fact about life. Jesus is worth it. And we need to stop saying it and start believing. And I'm talking to myself. None of this sermon is for any of you. It's all for me. This is what I have to get in my head. I can make all the arguments. I can say all the verses. I can do all that. But how do I live my life? Every moment of every day. Is it trusting that I'm His? Is it trusting I'm His? Is it believing in His power and life within me? Is that what's motivating? I need to pray more. You need to pray more. I need to spend more effort loving and caring for people, especially the ones I don't want to love and care for. And I need to spend more time understanding the Word of God and really understanding it and letting it permeate me. And most of all, I need to be more joyful even on the bad days, because Jesus is worth it. And that's what He's praying for. I need to love you more, and I'm trying to love you more, and you need to love each other more, and you need to try that. And if we do that, I promise you, even the bad days are not going to be unbearable. And the good days are going to be wonderful. Amen. So let's stand and commit. Commit!